You're Lori Dubose, as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio, not just on our regular second and fourth Tuesday, but on your happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you.
All right. Well, congratulations, and I hope you have a wonderful birthday. And
thank you.
There's just no time off to celebrate for the mayor, is there?
No, not really. No, there is not, but that's okay.
You had a Fairhope City Council meeting last night. And starts with the work session, which we try to encourage everyone to watch on YouTube or attend, because that's where so many discussions take place.
Right.
And on that work session, and then on the agenda, the final engineering plans for the working waterfront restoration project.
Yes, finally.
Did that pass, and give us an overview?
I will. It did pass last night, which was, you know, I spoke after the fact and just talked about what a huge effort it was to get to this point to be able to pass that. The restore projects are very time-consuming. I guess that's a nice way of putting it, but there's a lot that goes into finally getting to this point where you can submit to Treasury for them to review, and then for you to actually get that back from them and to be able to bid these projects.
Mm-hmm.
So the waterfront project is something everybody's heard about for a long time. It's really become a lot about ADA accessibility there from the bluff down to the fountain in the Rose Garden area. But we've really pulled back on the scope of this project. So it's basically, we are going to do some accessibility from the top of the bluff to the bottom.
Like, almost like a little trolley?
A little lift.
A lift.
Right.
That will hold how many people?
It's handicap accessible. It's 5x5, so you'll be able to fit a wheelchair in there. And I think it depends on if you have a wheelchair in there or not. I mean, you'll be able to seat more, obviously, without a wheelchair. But it's 5x5, and it will be right there on the very south end of the South Park, kind of where the second set of stairs is in that area, and there will be a set of stairs adjacent to it if somebody wanted to use the stairs to go down also. So that, adding a restroom facility there on the south end, also, you know, rebuilding the bulkhead there on the south end,
mm-hmm.
And putting a seating bench there on the south end on that bulkhead, looking at the pier, doing some new railings, doing a new entrance to the pier, redoing the fountain and the rose garden. That fountain, you know, is leaking. It's brick. It's old. We need to pull that out. It's basically going to go back in the same footprint, but be a, you know, better and you know, more functional. New pumps, everything for the fountain. So there's a lot of really upgrades that are necessary that need to be done that we're going to do, and just really excited to finally see this project cross the finish line.
Yeah, it's has been what, a couple of years at least now.
In 2017.
Whoa. I didn't realize
that. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
What was decided about the gateway or entryway? It was interesting to read all of the opinions on social media when the city put out pictures of possibilities, which kind of sort of look like cemetery entrances, some people said. And others, it might be an entrance to any other location.
Right. So we debated that a little bit last night, because there were like four items that the council had to decide upon last night for the final drawings. And one was the entrance to the pier. You know, we put that out on social media. We took that feedback. We talked to the council, talked to our internal restore committee. There were some folks that liked the overhead structure. A lot of people did say it looked like a cemetery. Apparently, historically, the pier did have a sign over it that said, "Welcome to the Fairhope Pier."
I like the idea.
Yeah. So we, but they did vote last night to not do anything overhead. So if you were looking at social media, I think it was slide C that had the columns, the brick columns that came up. They want those brick columns, but they don't want them to be as high as they drew them in the picture. And they wanted them to have the city seal encased in bronze
that
on those.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. And big flower urns on top of them. So, and some lighting. And so probably that lighting will be replicated. Whatever that design looks like will be replicated on the pier, because new lighting is part of that project as well. So no overhead.
Okay. And for of us that missed this presentation, mm-hmm. was that video that we can go look at through the City of Fairhope's
mm-hmm.
YouTube
you
channel,
can.
Is that in the work session or the council meeting?
It's in the work session.
Okay.
And it was also in the work session the last council
Correct.
Meeting. So we've talked about it a couple times. One thing that people are probably not going to be excited about is part of this project, you know, there's never been any kind of railing there on the seawall looking mm-hmm. when around the half circle. And, you know, a lot of people throw their cast nets from there. But when you do this type of project, you know, new requirements require that you do put something up in case somebody were to fall off. There was some talk that the city council could waive that. They could sign a hold harmless and with the architect, not holding them responsible. And if they wanted to do that, they could. inevitably, we know that we probably need to for safety to do that, because it's only a matter of time before mm-hmm. somebody does fall off. My thought is that people have fallen off before, but they haven't reported it because they didn't want anybody to know. But you know, for safety, there will be a railing there. But we're trying to do something that's really not obtrusive to the view. Some stainless steel cabling, horizontal cabling, so you can really see through it. And hopeful that people will be able to throw a cast net over that. I don't know that they'll be able to, but we'll maintain those finger piers so people who do want to throw cast nets can do that off the side of the pier.
Read my mind. I was getting ready to ask about those.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So this step, approving the engineering plans, what's next?
So what's next is the engineer plans are approved. They will be submitted to Treasury by the end of April at the latest. Our deadline is the end of April to get those to Treasury. They'll be submitted, and it's been taking 6 to 9 months to get the review back, which is another thing, is every step you take in this, it's just really takes a long time. So 6 to 9 months, once we get that feedback back from them, we'll revise any plan that we have to based on their recommendations, and then we will put it out for bid. So exciting to think that within a year we could have it out for bid.
And that's just the bid process.
That's right. That's just the bid process.
Is there a timeline, an estimation on how long all of the work may take?
No, but, you know, again, we want to time around some of the things like 4th of July.
Right.
I mean, we want to make sure we do that. So we're going to look at that, you know, once we get that back from Treasury, depending on what happens. We'll do it in phases. You know, we might do the south end, but then not touch anything else, complete that in the restroom facility, and then move to the circle. Mm-hmm. Just, again, so we don't make such a huge impact on the area overall.
Okay. All right. Also on the work session was discussion of Clock Corner Plaza project. The Clock Corner's been through some changes. The city's acquired it. The clock is there instead of the pavers. There's now grass, which is nice. What's going to happen otherwise?
So we have some plans for that. We've talked about it, and not that we don't have enough construction going on in downtown Fairhope. We decided we'd add just one more. But this is something that's been in the works for a while. We had Christian Preuss, landscape architect, had done some designs for that area, and basically it's going back with some pavers, but being able to do the brick pavers, like the inscribed brick pavers that we have downtown, is one of our goals for that plaza, to be able to do some inscribed pavers. But basically it's going to be some removable seating, some shade trees, probably some tables with some umbrellas, something that will be really inviting, something people can sit and, you know, people watch or sit and eat, whatever they choose to do.
And then it can be removed for the big special
events.
It can.
We'll make way, of course, for the Christmas tree at Christmas and some of that kind of stuff. There is like a little architect design that's like a seating wall that will not be removable, but most of it will be removable and just pavers going back down.
Okay. And moving on to the council agenda itself, number two, after approval of the previous meeting's minutes, is report of the mayor. What would you like to report?
So last night I talked about we have completed our audit. Kim Creech, the treasurer, and her staff have done a great job with that. It is on our website for anybody who'd like to look at that. We did have a favorable audit, and we'll be doing that report for the city council in April once everybody has a chance to review that. So we had the audit. Also wanted, you know, just thanked some folks. The mayor's golf tournament, the FIFA golf tournament, was this past last Friday, and had a great turnout. Had over 100, almost 170 golfers there at Quail Creek, two different flights, and just the FIFA does a great job with that tournament. And Bobby Hall and his staff just always go above and beyond. So I think they raised over $60,000 for the Fairhope schools. So
wonderful.
That is huge. And then arts and crafts, you know, went off without a hitch, and just thanked our police force,
except for the weather hitch. But
recovered. You know,
nicely,
yes, absolutely.
We had to have record-breaking crowds. Do you have an estimate?
We don't have an estimate. I don't have an estimate on the crowds, but, you know, Sunday I took time to walk into a lot of different businesses around town and just talk to them, and talk to no less than 5 businesses who had record sales that day, like in the history of their store, and talking about stores who've been here for a long time. So I think that speaks volumes for the festival and what it does for our economy and our local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work and really inconvenient to folks, you know, who live in the downtown area, but, you know, the police department, Public Works, the utilities, Sherry Swartz, Paige Crawford in our events department, they just all do such a great job coordinate that with the festival volunteers, and, you know, over 130 volunteers to pull that off. And so it's a huge event for our community.
It is amazing. And speaking of inconvenience, you want to address the Church Street infrastructure project, which I think seems to go pretty smooth, and applause to whomever came up with the cul-de-sac or U-turn.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to be as imposing as it could have been. What are you hearing and what's going on?
Well,
there?
I agree. I think that we are making every effort we can to make this as painless as possible for the businesses and the people who shop in downtown. But of course, you're always going to get some, you know, feedback. We've had people complaining that, you know, people don't feel like they can navigate the sidewalk, but we clearly are putting signs out that said the sidewalks are open, businesses are open, please use that. We've designated pedestrian crosswalks, so you basically just create kind of a diamond shape that you can just go around the construction. I think we've done a good job at it. We are going to be doing some videos that we're going to post hopefully over the next several days, just showing people how they can navigate that, how they can use the parking deck and come through some of the alleyways and then just hit the sidewalk. You know, what we don't want it to do is impact those businesses and the employees who work there to a point where the businesses have to cut back on staff or they have to lay people off or whatever it might be. That is not our, you know, that's not our intent with this project. Unfortunately, replacing this infrastructure is necessary. It's one of the oldest intersections in town and the infrastructure is aging and it has to be done, or obviously we wouldn't want the extra work, but it's something that is necessary. And just, again, want to do everything we can to not impact those businesses. And, you know, Jessica Walker at the city and the project manager for Sawgrass talk daily. We get daily updates by text letting us know what's going on. We're really pushing them hard to make sure they stick to that 45-day window, and I think that's a worst case scenario. So we are, you know, making sure they're out there working. You know, we got a call yesterday like, they're not out here working. Well, they uncovered a gas line, you know, that they had to address before they moved forward. So, you know, anytime they see them stop work, you know, our phones are ringing going, why aren't they working? Well, there are things that's going to happen when you open up a street like that they're going to have to address. And so their team has to meet. They have to make sure they're not, you know, nothing they're doing is going to impact that gas line. There's just things that happen when you're doing this kind of work, and people hopefully will be understanding of that. But, you know, again, it's about how it's impacting them personally.
Yes, and the city and Jessica have done an exceptional job, I think, as a business person on the route affected. You know, our street was closed for so long. She has just done an excellent job of communication with us and what's going on, and been very open to suggestions and ideas from
that's one of my goals,
business's point of view.
With these big projects is to be a good communicator, to be a good partner with our businesses and with our residents, to make sure they know what's going on. And, you know, Jessica's in that special projects role and really does a great job on these larger projects of communicating, making sure we know what's going on, the elected officials and staff, and just kind of keeping everybody on task. I think she's kind of, you know, really found what God intended for her to do, because she does a great job at it. Yes. And again, she is, it's important to me that we are good communicators.
We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here on WABF. It is 8:38, and let's see how much it's warmed up. We're going to be around 80 again today, 67 right now, a lovely morning. And we also wanted to mention there was a public hearing last night concerning the rooftop terraces again. Mm-hmm, there's been some tweaking on that ordinance.
There has.
And how did that go?
It went good. I think the biggest thing was, you know, if we allow people that extra footage for, you know, elevator shaft or for a mechanical room, those kind of things, we wanted to make sure that you can't see those from the right of way. So that was one of the things that was added, or you can't see them from the sidewalk. So it can't be on the perimeter of the building, and it's going to have to be, you know, tucked back so people can't see that. But, I mean, I think this would be a great thing for downtown to be able to have some of those rooftop terraces.
You see it a lot in Auburn and other cities,
Montgomery,
dining
and
live music on the rooftop.
Right. And some things that you can't do is, like, I couldn't, if I had a restaurant, I couldn't come in and just lease that space from whoever it is and say that was going to be an addition to my restaurant, you know, a second location. It has to be part of that venue. So whatever somebody does, whether it's a professional office building that they just want a rooftop terrace for their staff, or if it's, you know, maybe a boutique hotel that has something where guests can go up there and enjoy a sunset from the rooftop, it has to be part of that overall business. It can't be, you know, leased out to individuals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. All right. Resolution number 8 to award a bid for turn lane construction and traffic signal upgrade at Gayfer Avenue and 98. You're going to do basically the same thing that was done for Twin Beach.
Correct.
To give turning lanes an extra to unclog traffic.
Right. And there was a lot of discussion on that topic last night, because actually we had to reject that bid and we're going to rebid it because we need to throw a wider net, I guess, on our advertising. We did only get one bid, which we don't like to get, but we did feel like it was a competitive bid. It was a good price, but we did reject that bid, and we're going to be rebidding it. Our hope is that we can get that back on the council agenda within 30 days. We've got to advertise for 21, but get that back, because our goal is to really start that project by June 1. It's a 90-day project, so by the time school starts, we are, you know, ready to in that project. Mm-hmm. So we did not really want to start school with that project going on there at Gayfer, because we know that it's going to impact, you know, that Fairhope Elementary East, some of that traffic, and, you know, other people who live in that area who may be trying to get out. And, you know, the roundabout at 32 and 13 has been such a hot topic that we're, you know, again, there's a lot of construction projects going on, so we want to be the least impactful that we can to our residents.
That roundabout at 32 and 13, is that a county-state project, actually?
Correct.
Not even a city project, other than relocating of the utilities?
Correct. Okay. It is a county project. And, you know, again, one of those things that in the end it's going to be it's going to be great for traffic flow through there. I know that there's been a lot of heartache over it, and a lot of people upset that they did not wait until, you know, school was out to start that project. But you can't do these projects quick. And it really does take more time if you only do half the project, like half the road, and then leave the other half open. And I will say the county really tried everything that they could to find a reroute to go through some private property, try to get access to some private property to allow people to cut past there, so they didn't have to, you know, take an alternate route. But again, when you're dealing with private property owners, that's not always possible. But they looked at every scenario. So again, just, you know, some growing pains that we're having, but mm-hmm. if people will be patient, and, you know, hopefully this will all be over in the next year or so.
What else from last night's meeting? It appears a lot of budgeted items that were approved, or in some cases, I know you've had to work ahead.
Yes.
To order things like pipes for the water department.
I mean,
because the supply and demand is crazy.
It is. And meters, I mean, some of the things you'll see, you know, I know we posted on social media that we're not offering irrigation meters at this time, because it's because we can't get meters. I mean, water meters we ran out of last week and had to.
What people can do if they that really want to take care of that yard,
right,
they can separate that from the sewer.
They can.
Okay.
They can. And so it becomes
saves
an irrigation meter. Uh-huh. But right now we're so limited on meters. The order that was on there last night is for $100,000 for 500 meters, but they won't be until May. So we were able to get some from another source, a smaller quantity that will hopefully get us through. But that's going to be the same thing you're going to see on transformers, water meters, gas meters, and it's the pieces and parts to those meters that you can't get. So we've actually, even on one council agenda, bought some from Florence, some gas meters from Florence, Alabama. They mm-hmm. had some that we were able to purchase. And we've had a set of gas meters on order now for over a year. But it is just, it's crazy how you just can't get these supply items. So you will see more inventory on the council agendas as we have to, you know, deal with these supply chain issues and things become available. And our vendors are great about letting us know that. So we are having to, you know, really stock up on inventory.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on this three-page agenda that you want to cover?
I think the other thing I just wanted to do too was thank Fairhope Single Tax. They have donated $40,000 for two DARE vehicles.
What are DARE vehicles?
So that's the Drug Awareness Program.
Uh-huh.
So they will be for the SROs, the School Resource Officers, and we're hoping to get two of those and then wrap them with the DARE logo and everything, so they're placed at the school to, you know, to advertise that program.
Very nice.
And to give to the SROs. So thank you to Single Tax. They continue to be a great partner with the city in all projects that we do.
And, you know, my neighborhood, I love the new sidewalk on Nichols.
Isn't it great?
And I literally rode down the window one day and told the man working, "You rock."
Yes.
I stopped and talked.
Yes.
His name was John Henry.
Yes.
I said, "I've never seen a person single-handedly build a sidewalk."
He does.
That is perfect.
Yes, and he has built tons of sidewalks around town.
You can tell.
He has, and he does a great job. Yes, and that sidewalk was much needed. And we have, you know, right now, too, we're under construction for a crosswalk on Nichols between the brewery and Hope Farm.
Yep, that's happening
out there.
Today.
That's happening today. Hopefully that will wrap up in the morning before the weather comes in. But, again, these kind of projects are necessary for pedestrian safety and just so important that we're able to continue to do those projects.
And one more, the electrical upgrade project. Mm-hmm. I don't have in front of me, mm-hmm. but I know we've gotten a notice of tree trimming.
Right.
To prepare for new lines and mm-hmm. poles?
That's a 46 kV line, which basically connects your substations. And again, with the work at Nichols, then the work at Morphy, that will allow us to, you know, connect those substations and give us more resiliency and more efficiency in our systems. It did result in some, unfortunately, some tree trimming, not removing of any trees, but some tree trimming and some larger poles in some areas. That project basically is going to impact the Nichols, Morphy, all the way out Morphy, really. Okay. Young Street, mm-hmm. those areas. So I think, you know, we put that information on social media and certainly can make that available to anybody who wants it. But again, there will be some intermittent closures, but should not be anything that closes down traffic completely in any one area.
And then finally, let's remind folks to use the downtown shuttle.
That's right. We have that shuttle. And that's one of the things that they're going to be including in the video, is to make sure that people know that we have that shuttle. I did talk to staff yesterday about the possibility of expanding those hours from at least 9:30 to 2, Monday through Friday, because some of the workers who come in at 9:30, they could benefit from the shuttle. So because the businesses don't open till 10. So thought that might be a way to help some of the shops downtown. So I think we are going to extend that by 30 minutes. You know, and again, this is the first time we've really used the shuttle for an extended period of time. We've had it and we've been using it intermittently. You know, downtown is so congested, to be honest, that this has a lift on it, and that lift has to fold out 6 feet for people to get, if they're, it's because it's ADA accessible. So if you do have somebody with a wheelchair, make sure you're paying attention for the shuttle, because they are going to have to stop, let people off. We're trying to, again, not hold up traffic in downtown as much as we possibly can, but I think it's a great addition to downtown, and happy that we're able to provide that service, and hopefully we can just continue to expand it.
And everyone can find the phone number to call if you don't see the That's shuttle, right. which is a nice long golf cart. Right. Then you can call the number and have them pick you up That's from right. the parking garage or wherever you may be, right. basically downtown in That's the right. central business
district. And they'll give you a card when you're on the shuttle with the number on there. So okay. if he takes you and drops you off somewhere, you can call him. He'll come back and pick you up and take you back to your vehicle.
Thank you so much. We have learned a lot this
Good.
Morning.
Thank you
very much. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, and happy, happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Lori.
It is 8:46 and 68 degrees. WABF, good morning.
Hello, babe.